Sweet, how are you guys doing? Doing good? Woo! I tell you guys, we got one of the best worship groups there is, don't we? I appreciate you guys. Andy, I appreciate you bringing it, bringing new songs. You guys practice hard, and I get to go do worship at a lot of different places. And I don't know, I love our group. Proclaiming the truth, and it's just, I don't know, it emboldens me. I love it. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Hey, so we are doing the series. I know I'm a little hot on the mic, I think. But we're doing the series about wellness, a holistic health, you know, kind of looking at scripture and kind of all the ins and outs of what does it mean for us to truly serve God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our body, to be able to truly dedicate those things over to the Lord, to walk in what He would have us to walk in, to be not only just obedient, but to experience the greatness of God working in us in those ways and experience what He has for us. And so I know that, like last week as we started digging into this, I talked about the physical, and I kind of challenged you guys to start thinking and praying about what the Spirit would lay on your heart, that you wouldn't be doing it out of vain ambition, that you wouldn't be doing it out of selfish motives, but you would be looking at what it is that God wanted to do in your life. So with that, I'm going to tell you my resolution. And I'll give you my resolution as we go through all these different aspects of our life, and because I need accountability too, okay? So I have committed to myself that I am going to be diligent that at least 5 times a week that I do 20 minutes of exercise and work out and continue in that health pattern. That is one of my resolutions. The other is I want to get down to a goal weight of 205. I haven't been 205 since I married Sasha. So that's my goal weight, get down to 205. So I need you guys to help me keep me accountable on those things, and I wanted to present those to you so that you know that I'm not just throwing this out and going, well, good luck with that, but that you realize that I am in this boat also. Also with that, I wanted to let you guys know that it's our goal, and it's our hopefully where we want to be as a church. As I've talked with John, and he heads up the trail crew, you know, kind of our work projects, like a couple Saturdays ago, going down to the Gurches and being able to do those things. It's our goal that actually we as a church get to once a month on a regular basis. We'll have a weekend and once a month that we're going out and doing trail crew and being able to get those things going. So is your hand hurting? Is that what that is? Okay, I was wondering if you're praising the Lord or it's like, Mark, I have a question up here. It's like, yeah, get that blood out of there. You're slapping this thing pretty good up here. So yeah, okay. So I caught you, caught my attention. It's like, hi, Paul. Love you too, man. This is great. So, all right. So, hi, Vern. Everybody wave. So one thing you can wave your hand at is, I'm going to throw this out there. Have you ever taken a spiritual gift test? And out of your spiritual gift test, one of your spiritual gifts is encouragement. Do you got anybody here that's an encourager? All right, so here's the next thing I want you guys to think about. Would you consider making yourself available as an accountability partner for those that are sitting in the pew going, there are some physical things and some resolutions I want to do in my life too that God's leading me to? And would you want to raise your hand? Would you be willing for somebody to contact you and say, would you help me with this? So keep your hand up. Okay, there you go. The rest of you guys, look around. Here's people that are willing to contact you and help you and encourage you in your goals to get there, all right? That's big. We need that. We don't accomplish this without encouragement, and that's using the gifts that God's given, and so that's awesome. So thank you for that very much. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will dig into this thing. Father God, we come before you right now. We praise you for who you are. You are an awesome, marvelous, wonderful God. Lord, I thank you for just the way you work in our lives, it blows my mind to watch people change and get hope and purpose, and the way that you motivate us, and the way that you put us in situations that sometimes seem impossible, but you work in our hearts, and you are an awesome, mighty God. And we praise you for that. We thank you. Lord, as a congregation, we ask that you would move in our hearts, that the Spirit would speak to us, that you would lead us through this as we go through this whole thing about wellness, that, Father, that it's not just a help yourself type mentality, but, Father, that it would truly be grasped that we want to be your children, we want to live as your servants, we want to experience the life and life more abundantly that you have for us, to be able to walk in the middle of your will, to be able to see you move in incredible ways, and that we would be obedient to lay down the things that have hindered us and the things that have entangled us and allow you to work in our lives. So, Father, speak to us. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's start off. Like just to recap, Luke chapter 10, verse 27. This is where this series is coming from. You guys are going to get sick of this, but you guys know this, and I want to get it into your heart. It's this gentleman answered Jesus. He said, "Lord, or love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." So this is where we're getting this passage, this idea of the wellness of what would it truly look like if we were to love God with all of ourselves. Now, as we dig into this, the first part of this says to love the Lord with all your heart. Now, the hard part about this is often when you look through Scripture and it talks about the heart and you think about it, the heart is spoken about a lot in Scripture. The hard part about that is the heart is used for all sorts of different ins and outs of being able to explain the wholeness of a person. So it's not just the emotion, it's the character, it's not just the character, it's the thought patterns, the word heart in Scripture can be used all over the place as far as the wholeness of an individual. In our situation here, though, as we look at this in all honesty and we begin to break this down, it's kind of cool because it's not just, hey, we're going to cover it with one word. You see this breaking down these four different areas of our life where we deal with the heart, where we deal with the soul, and we deal with the mind, and we deal with the body, and we can grasp these different areas and realize that there's something significant about the true fullness of who we are as individuals that God has created. So in this instance, as we look at these things, I really want to allow us to be able to grasp the reality that we want to deal with the heart as far as the seat of emotion. The area that we have these emotions and these desires in our life. They're not so much a place of thought and reasoning. It's not a place of our physical being, but it's this inner place, and to be honest, it's hard for me to describe because I grew up not dealing with emotions. And emotions and being in touch with my emotions and understanding my emotions has been a lifelong journey, to be honest. And it's been a journey that, in God's mercy, that He began to mold, I guess, or draw out would be better understanding. In my life when He started giving me girls and not boys as children and beginning to watch them and knowing as a father, how do I help them and lead them through this life? And so if we want to look here real quick, I want to turn over to a verse here in Luke chapter 6, verse 43. That kind of helps us to see the pattern that we got here. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 says this, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear bad fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, when you read that verse, like I say, part of it is just realizing that it is dealing with the whole person. It's not just dealing with emotion. Because you could read that and go, okay, here's the heart and here's the emotion. And so if there's an evil motion and bad motion and or good motion, and so if I'm a good person, then I'm allowing these good things to come out of me because of my emotional being. And yet, that's not what it's getting at. It's getting at the wholeness of that individual, that character, like we talked about before. But the reason why I bring this up is because sometimes we kind of look at emotions as being good or evil. We look at anger as going, anger's bad. You know, don't go there. Loneliness, bad. You know, hatred, bad. You know, and so we take these emotions and we go, they're bad. We've done it with lots of things throughout our life, especially as we grew up in church. We hear things such as, you know, money is the root of all kinds of evil, and we drop that all kinds into, you know, the root of all evil, and so therefore money's evil. And money's not evil. Money's just money. How we use it and how we think about it is what taints it or uses it for God's glory. So the reality of this is when we think about this, some of our thinking about what emotion is has to begin to be changed and how we begin to process it and think about emotion in itself. You see, when we think about emotion and desire, there's some basic ones that rise to the surface. Fear, hurt, loneliness, anger, shame, sadness, gladness. There's lots of things that we can express, like happiness, that is kind of an offset of gladness or some of these other areas. But really, some of these emotions that I labeled are the root emotions that happen in our life. And the problem that we have, to be honest, is we honestly do not know how to handle our emotions. We have a serious issue on the way that we look at emotions and the way that we handle them. To be able to allow ourselves to become emotionally healthy actually leads to a change, not only in the way that we look at life, but a transformation on the inside out. So when we're not emotionally healthy, we begin to be people that are very reserved and isolated. We begin to be people that hurt rather than heal. We are people that pull away and isolate others. We handle emotion in ways that we feel like if we ever express it, we are immature. And so emotionally healthiness is something that, in all honesty, has to happen in order for transformation to happen in our life. So often as we go to church, we're presented, hey, Jesus Christ is all you need. Jesus is all we need for salvation. We cannot accomplish it in our own, so don't get me wrong. But it is amazing because from the very beginning, Jesus says it was not good for man to be alone. There is a place that we need connection. There is a place that we need to be able to express the things that God has laid on our heart. And we struggle with these things. I think some of the problems with us not being emotionally healthy are these. I'm going to give you five. I didn't have time to write them up, but I'm going to give you five. We're going to work through two of them this week and the other three next week. The first two that I would put out there is we do not process our emotion properly. We don't even know how to process our emotions. The other is that we isolate ourselves and others because of it. The third area that I think that we have a problem in being able to deal with our emotions is that we totally define success the wrong way. We focus on doing for God more than being with God, and that we tolerate emotionally immaturity, that we do not allow others to actually heal and begin to step into what it would be for God to actually transform us in our emotional health. So if we were to look at these and begin to break some of these down, it's pretty easy for us to realize that, I think it's pretty easy for us to realize that we don't handle our emotions right. When you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and you look at what happened, and when you break that story down, the reality is it's almost the same story that we all have. We know that, you know, God created Adam and Eve and put them together in the garden, and in the evenings they would walk with God, and they would have this time of fellowship and community together, and life was perfect. And it even talks about them being naked, and there was no shame, which, to be dead honest with you, I don't know about you guys, but that's really hard to even imagine. You know what I mean? I mean, just getting out of the shower and seeing myself in the mirror, it's like, oh, you know what? It's so ingrained in us that we can't even hardly imagine what that was like. And so, yet there was this perfect atmosphere, and then it was destroyed by sin. And if you think about the story itself, what's amazing, as soon as they sin, what do? They go and they hide. They remove themselves. And the story tells us that when God came down to walk with them, he had to call out to them. It's like God knows exactly where we're at. So why in the world would this even be part of the story? It's part of the story for us to realize that often when we get into a place and we do not know how to handle our wrongdoing, we withdraw. We pull back. We isolate. We have shame. We have hurt. We have something that steps into our life, and we remove ourselves from others. The fact that they realize that they're naked, and so they hid themselves, and so shame comes into their life. See, what happens with our emotions and when we don't deal with them, it taints the way we see other people. It taints the way we see ourselves. And we begin to hide, thinking that we're going to solve it somehow or another. And then when we're confronted with what's going on, we have this tendency, instead of it actually take ownership of what we've done, to say it's somebody else's fault. See, when we talk about these feelings, these desires that we have in our life, when we talk about the reality of looking at fear or hurt or loneliness or anger, shame, sadness, or gladness, when we look at some of those emotions, those are part of those things that we look at and we go, I don't want to deal with the pain. I don't want to deal with the loneliness. We have individuals that have woken up for a long time, and there's nobody around. Or sometimes there is somebody around, but the distance is still so great in their hearts. And they are extremely lonely. And instead of expressing the loneliness and the pain in the heart, what we do is we go, I don't want to feel that anymore. So I'm going to ignore that. And I'm going to put up barriers so that doesn't happen. So if I don't let relationships come in, then relationships can't hurt me, right? And so we take this mindset that when we have these emotions, we instantly go, I don't like feeling this. So how do I remove myself from it? And in all these different ones, when I get hurt, instead of dealing with my hurt and telling somebody, you know, when you said that, that really hurt me. We don't want to do that. That's like, man, that's aggressive. What are you talking about? That's crazy. Instead, what we do is we just kind of lump it. And if somebody notices that cares about us, say, hey, what's going on? We go, oh, nothing. I'm good. Like, we're making it their responsibility to figure out what's our problem. And if they can't figure out what's our problem, then that's their problem. You know? It's like, I'm going to make you pay for my pain because I don't want you in. And so we take these crazy stance in our emotion where we just lump it. Where we don't share our feelings, we don't share our fears, we don't share our hurt, we don't share the sadness that we're going through. I mean, how often is it that something happens in our life and we lose something of value? And you think about it, when we lose something of value, when we lose a relationship, when there's a change in our life and something happens and it makes us sad. Who wants to feel sad? That sucks. Nobody wants to feel sad. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have a better attitude. I'm going to be happy, kind of. You know? And it's this facade that we put on. And then when nobody's around, we don't understand and we hurt so bad inside of us. Man, I remember a time back when crazy situation where it was seemed like within a week I had these parents and I had these kids that were coming to me that there's like three or four situations within a week of teenagers that were cutting themselves. And I was like, and it was, to be honest, it was one of the first times I ever had to deal with it. And I was like, I don't get this. And I had to dig in and go, why is that even a thing? Why would somebody want to do that to themselves? And the reality is what happens is we have so much feelings trapped inside of us, so much loneliness, so much fear, so much struggling. We get so numb, we actually want to feel something physical. So we can deal with the physical to hopefully release the emotional. That's dysfunctional. See, the reality is when we ignore our feelings and we begin to try to put them to the side or try to masquerade them as something else, when we don't express them, when we don't allow people in because we think we're protecting ourselves, it actually gets worse and worse. I've discovered that because this has been my heart cry ever since the Lord called me into ministry. It's like, how do I help people to grow and mature in Christ, become victorious? That has been my battle cry. I want to see mature believers in Christ, see the victory that God has brought into them, that they can live differently, that we are the children of God, that we are kings and queens, and the reality is that God has something beautiful for us. But we seem to live in the slums and play with the mud cakes and we don't realize that there's so much more for us. And so often what I find is somewhere along the line, life has gotten so hard, and we don't know how to deal with it, so we just shut it off. And then here's the tragedy. We don't know how to deal with our emotions. So we make up this thing that we think that we're mature because we don't express our emotions. And so then we teach others to be mature like us and don't express those emotions because that's not a good time or place. As many of you guys know, years back, we had a friend who came and he shot himself on our deck. Committed suicide. That was rough. Unbelievably rough. I didn't think I'd ever have to go through something like that. It tore me up. It tore my family up. It tore my friends up. It was rough. And trying to get through it and trying to understand it and try to work through the ramifications of it and trying to help people be able to deal with the emotions of it, I was lost. I honestly was lost. And I remember being with my friends that I've grown up with over in Seattle. I've known these guys since I was 10, 11 years old, and my kids are now, you know, they're like cousins, and you know, all the family connections, and it's crazy, and God has done some beautiful things through these long relationships that I have over on the coast. But I remember sitting down in the living room telling them the story. As I got through the story, which was really difficult, they instantly changed the subject. And somebody else was like, wow, Mark, you probably should see some counseling. Hey, you want a Coke? And it hit me, it's like, wow, I know you guys love me. I don't question that. We've been friends for a long time. We've gone through a lot of stuff. But right now, my emotions bother you. And if we're honest, we do that all the time to people. We don't want to deal with people's emotions because we don't know how to deal with our own emotions. See, if we're going to actually love God with all of our heart, there's a place where we need to start being owning and honest with who we are and what we feel and what we desire. Because the reality is when I'm hurt, the only way to get through that and not hurt is to actually step into the pain and address the hurt to other people, that I can finally get to a place that I can forgive and move on, not to swallow it up. Because it doesn't go away. When I'm lonely, the only way to get through the loneliness is actually step out and tell somebody I'm lonely. And be able to reach out and have friendships again and relationships again. Not to step back and say, I'm not going to have relationships because they're just going to hurt. See, the way to heal is actually to move through those things and to own those things. To be able to lay them in front of others that can honestly receive them and say, I get you. I want to help you. I want to be there for you. To be able to allow God to work in our life in that way. Dealing with some of these things in my life and going through some of these different situations, I could say I had to find help. And here's the crazy thing. Here's a bunch of books. Look at the size of this book. Guys, this book is huge. What is it? It's like 360-some pages long. If I can read this book, you can too, okay, dang nabbit? So here it is. How People Grow, Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, plus there's a whole bunch of other things that he's written on emotionally healthy. Chip Dodd is the voice of the heart. These are three books that are unbelievably good. Different authors, different backgrounds, different denominations. You know, it's all solid believers. You know what's crazy about these books? Is every one of them says the same thing. God is in control, and you're only going to heal through relationships. The more we remove ourselves, the more we withdraw, the harder it gets, the more pain it becomes, the deeper the well of hurt. It's not until we start owning some of these things and actually stepping up with other believers and say, hey, this is where I'm at. Will you help me? To hear the stories, to live in the pain, to cry with those who cry, to mourn with those who mourn, and to laugh with those that laugh. See, the scripture has emotion in it. Look at Jesus. In the garden, he literally goes off by himself to pray as he's getting ready because he knows what's coming. The cross is right there. He knows what's going to happen. He knows his disciples are going to desert him. He knows the pain that he's going to feel. He knows what's going to happen between him and his Father. And yet in the midst of it, he knows that God loves him and he holds on to that. And it's like, you are in charge. I want your will and not mine. And it says he was sweating like drops of blood. That's some emotion. Guys, I want to challenge us. If we're truly going to follow God with all of our heart, what part of our emotion in our life are we hiding from him? That we feel like I can take control? Because to be honest, if we open it up and we put it out there in front of him, we don't want to do that because we feel like if I do that, I don't have control of it anymore. If I'm honest in that way and I put it out there, who knows who could use that as a weapon against me? And so we struggle. We struggle with that ability to actually step in, to tell our story, and to deal with what comes. Here's a verse. It's a, we'll deal with it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Many of you guys know this verse. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except for it is common to mankind. For God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." When we read those verses, I have always thought about temptation as those things that are physical that come my way, temptations over lust, and temptation over jealousy, temptation over, you name it. And we think about these temptations as sin. I would put before you that being emotionally unhealthy is also a temptation. Because it's stepping back into our sin nature saying, I will take control over my own situation. I will be the master of it. And I will protect myself so this doesn't happen again. Tell me out of those words which ones are not a sin. The reality is we are not in control. And the quicker we hand it over to God, who is in control. I mean, we know that he works all things out for good. We claim that verse. He works all things out for good. So I know that. And we'll quote that to other people that are going through hard times. But when it comes to our pain, there's nothing good going to come out of this, so I'm going to swallow it. You have been hurt in incredible ways. You guys have gone through incredibly lonely nights. You have lost things that are so precious to you that you are filled with sadness. There are expectations of life that have not been met. There are places that you need to be affirmed, cared for, touched, loved. And we look at these emotions as they're wrong. Yet if we thirst for water, we would not look at our bodies and say, "What's wrong with you?" If I'm hungry, I would go to the fridge and I would feed it. Unless I have to stop and go, "Wait a minute, I'm trying to lose some weight." But you think about it. We don't look at our body and go, "You're just functional because you need these things." Why do we look at our emotional side of ourselves and go, "I'm dysfunctional because I need to be loved. I need to be affirmed. I need to have relationship." These are the way God has made us. And guys, I know this is heavy, but let's face it. I mean, when we deal with emotion, so many of us, and me included, we're not where we should be. And in order for us to truly love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, we got to stop and own up to some of our emotions and our needs. Begin to share that. Because I think once we begin to share that and we find others that are stepping into that same realm of maturity, you're going to find a level of relationship that you have never experienced before. You're going to find a freedom that you are cared about and loved, and there are people in this room that want to see you be healthy. That you're going to be able to deal with some of the pain and sorrow, and the reality is, as we step through pain and sorrow and let God begin to comfort us in the midst of that, and God uses people to comfort us, you're going to be able to turn around and be those people that comfort others through the comfort that God has given you. See, He's made us as a collective. And when we have shame and we go and hide, when we have hurt and we pull back, when we're sad and say, I'm not going to feel that anymore and I'm going to withdraw, we just make it worse. We don't know how to deal with our emotions. So here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Get in touch with your emotions. Begin to stop, and every once in a while, take a check in. So, what am I feeling? And why? And then the second part of that is, okay, how do I step into that? So, I was putting this whole thing together. It was funny as I was writing it and looking at it and going through some of these things, and I stopped and I thought, okay, Mark, what am I feeling right now? It's like, I just got back from Honduras. I was just with people nonstop and all this stuff. I'm an introvert, you know. And I'm stopped and I'm sitting there going, what is it that I'm feeling right now? It's like, I'm incredibly lonely. I'm lonely right now. I've been with a lot of people and I've put out a lot of stuff. But I just need somebody that knows me deeply and loves me unconditionally. So I called Sasha up and said, hey, I know you're in town, but I'm really lonely. And she was like, oh, great. And she talked to me. And I got done talking with her. Yeah, I know, this is funny. I got done talking with her and I went, man, I feel a lot better. Hey, that's the stupidest little story ever. But here's the reality of it. It's that simple. To be able to stop and go, where are you? And who can you reach out and share? When you're sad, don't hide it. When you're hurt, don't hide it. When you're afraid, don't hide it. Begin to share. Begin to open up. This last week, we went to a church planters conference, and it was really good. And there's several folks there that I see like once a year, that are other church planters throughout the state, and it's always kind of good to hear the story and say hi to them and try to catch up and all that bit. But I'll be honest, relationship that happens once a year, it's not much of a relationship. It is encouraging to know that God's doing other things, and these are good, godly guys, and I love them, but it's not much of a relationship. And then there was a couple other people that I ran into that I've had conversations back and forth, and it was different conversations. And it was like, how come when I'm with that individual, I feel so encouraged and so connected and so understood? And I began to realize it's because they're actually emotionally healthy. They don't hide. They actually tell me the truth of where they're at and how they feel and what's going on in their life. And even though I only see them every so often, I have such a deeper relationship with them, a deeper connection with them, because they don't hide. We got to stop hiding. God is in control. He takes care of the sin. He takes care of the blame. He covers us and shows us a new way. Ultimately, without Christ in your life, you'll never get victory of this, because it comes from our sin nature. You can't master it. You're not going to be able to deal with your hurts by yourself. You need others, but you need the Spirit inside you that will lead you and guide you and help you get to a place where you realize that He does actually work all things out for good, that He does love us totally and completely, that He is for us. And if He is for us, who can be against us? That there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We don't get there until we surrender to Him. Amen? Father God, we just come before You right now. Lord, I thank You for all that You do. I thank You that, Father, that You've given us emotion. And Lord, I don't think those words would have came out of my mouth 12 years ago. But I do. I praise You for emotion. I praise You that, Father, in the midst of worship, I can be drawn into Your presence, that I can feel just Your awesomeness and the emotion and the gladness and the joy that swells up inside me. And God, I praise You for those things. I praise You that You give us hope and You give us a purpose. I praise You that, Father, that You lead us into relationships. Father, in all honesty, I can't fully understand grace and love until I've experienced it from others. And so, Lord, I thank You for those emotions. I thank You for those desires. I thank You for the complicated and crazy mess that is in my head, that You work unbelievable glory out of it, that You show us unbelievable relationship. Father, You are our Redeemer, and You have reconciled us, and You have given us the ministry of reconciliation. So help us to walk in the midst of that, that we would build relationships, and that it would not be surface. It would not be a notch in our belt because we're good believers. But Father, that You give us true, genuine relationships like our relationship with You. And that, Father, that You would enrich our hearts and our souls and our mind and our emotions as we become more and more in love and understand more and more of who You are and how You've created us. Father God, heal the pains that are in this room. Help us to be true, mature believers in the way that we are able to be transparent, in the way of being able to risk it all, that others can actually feel a place of security, a presence, Your grace, Your forgiveness, Your love. Father God, we lay it all before You. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.